I do promise that. I know sometimes I say that. It's not usually a lie, it's just an exaggeration. Which is a lie, I know. But I kind of feel okay about that because, you know, the Apostle Paul in one of his letters, I think it was it Colossians? No, Philippians. He said, finally, my brethren, in chapter 3, and he went on and added two more chapters, so it's a preacher's prerogative. Now, I'm going to talk to you today about the original Dear Abby. And Pauline Phillips was born 17 minutes after her identical twin sister, Esther Lederer, and published her first Dear Abby column in 1956, 3 months after Esther's debut as Ann Landers. And Phillips chose her pen name from the Bible, where it says, then David said to Abigail, blessed is your advice, and blessed are you. That's from the book Samuel. And there also, she chose her name from our 18th president. She liked the old family presidential ring of Van Buren. So she gave advice. How many of you ever read her advice column? How many have never heard of her? A couple of younger ones. That's all right. I just picked out one here this morning. She said, Dear Abby, I have always wanted to have my family history traced, but I can't afford to spend a lot of money to do it. Do you have any suggestions? Her response, yes, run for public office. Oh, that's true, right? If you got any skeletons in the closet, it'll come up at that time. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you today and thank you for all of the mothers, especially that are here today, all the ladies, all the wives, Lord, and all the single women who also set such an example for us. I pray your blessing upon them today. And I pray, Lord, that we would just be able to glean from your word and from the life of Abigail, Dear Abby. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to talk about the original Dear Abby. She offered great advice. She is the Abigail in the Bible that Pauline Phillips referred to. She was wise, whereas her husband was a fool. I mean, it was a total contrast in the character of these two people. And David had an encounter with this wise woman and this foolish man. So we're taking the text today, the story from the whole chapter of 1 Samuel chapter 25. And it includes in that chapter this encounter between David and, first of all, her husband, Nabal, and then David and Abigail. May I suggest that you never name your child Nabal? Nabal, his name literally means fool. So think about this. Every time his wife called him, she was saying, hey, fool, come here. Because he was an unreasonable man. He was selfish. He was ungrateful. And it's easy to get offended at people's ingratitude. And he was terribly ungrateful toward David. And he was also, as I said, very selfish. He had only thought about himself, not a giving kind of man. In both the Old Testament and the New, being offended means to cause to stumble. And David almost stumbled at being offended at Nabal. But praise God for Dear Abby, because she knew how to step in and kept David from making a huge mistake. And so let's go through this kind of verse by verse, section by section. In verse 2, it says, now there was a man in Moan whose work was in Carmel. He was a rich man with 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep at Carmel. And the man's name was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and beautiful, but the man was harsh and evil in his actions, and he was a Calebite. So David and his men had been protecting Nabal's flocks. And David sends his men to ask simply for some food. He's nice and polite about it, and Nabal responds like the fool that he is. And so it says there in verse 11, whoops, I think I got the wrong slide there. Just listen to me here. He said, should I take my bread and my water and my meat, that which I have killed for my shears, and give it to men whose origins are unknown? And David, this is where he gets upset. He's upset by his ingratitude. So David's young men turned themselves around and went back, and they came and reported to him all these words. David said to his men, each man strap on his sword. I mean, this is escalating very quickly. This is going to be out of control. And each man strapped on his sword. David also put on his sword, and 400 men went up after David, but 200 stayed with the baggage. So in the process here, a man comes and tells Abigail what's going on. Let's see if I got the right slide here now. Oh, I had it. All right. Verse 14, now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, listen, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to bless our master, and he railed against him. And then there's this interesting conversation that takes place in verse 17. He says, now therefore know and consider what you will do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. He is such a worthless man that one cannot speak to him. Now get this, this is an employee talking about his employer this way. Really talking to his wife, calling him a good for nothing and saying, you really can't even talk to that fool. So verse 21 lets us know that it was ingratitude that offended David. Now David had said, surely in vain I have guarded all that this man has in the wilderness so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him, and he has returned me evil for good. So here's our Dear Abby column now. David didn't actually write her, but if he did, this is what he could have said. Dear Abby, my men and I watched over a man's shepherds, so they were shearing his sheep in the wilderness. In return, we asked for some food, but he refused. I feel like arming some of my men and going after that fool. What should I do? Signed, offended by ingratitude. Again, David didn't write that letter, but she gives, Dear Abby gives him some advice here anyway, and she wanted to deliver her advice personally. And so, Dear offended by ingratitude, verse 25, please do not let my Lord set his heart against this worthless man, against Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name and folly is with him, but I, your handmaid, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from coming in bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now let your enemies and those seeking to do evil to my Lord be as Nabal. Now let this blessing which your maidservant has brought to my Lord be given to the young man who follow the Lord. Please forgive the transgression of your handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil will not be found in you all your days. Even if a man rises to pursue you and to seek your life, the life of my Lord will be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will sling out as from the hollow of a sling. It will be when the Lord does for my Lord, according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel, and this will be no grief to you, nor an offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt with well with my Lord, then remember your handmaid. In verse 32, then David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to me. And blessed is your discretion, and blessed are you who have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. Here is a wife-to-be. She's the wife of Nabal. She's later going to become the wife of David. And because of this woman's counsel, David responded with praise. And it was incredible this morning to be able to hear the children praise their moms. As Deb said, that they are praised in the gates. What a great thing. I think probably, I'm not, of course, not a wife, but I can't think that there is anything a mother would rather hear than to have her praises and the love of her children. Now, so that's why chose to preach on Abigail today. I know it's not really a story of a mother, but it's a story of a wife and how she helped somebody who could have made a terrible mistake. And I love her because she's such a woman of great character. She shows humility before her servants, who knew that they could approach her. They knew they couldn't talk to their boss, they couldn't talk to Nabal, but they knew that they could talk to his wife. They knew that they could talk to Abigail. And they approached her and they speak openly and with total honesty. And she displays great humility, not only in conversing with these servants, but in also talking to the king in waiting. And when we see the full spectrum of her relationships, we see that she was a woman who was always a humble woman, and it was always giving good advice, showing good judgment, whether she was dealing with the king-to-be or with a servant. Humility was a lifestyle for Abigail. So she was able to diffuse this situation. And while most women in her position would have found it easy to display humility before a king in waiting, they wouldn't have always shown an act of humility and openness before their servants or their employees. They wouldn't do as Abigail had done. So we have a lot to learn from this beautiful and intelligent woman of God who lived out this example for even for us today. And we notice that when she's speaking to David, it was her humility and good judgment that shone through, that got to David. And just 10 days after this, the Lord struck Nabal dead. In his mercy and grace, the Lord had given Nabal an intelligent, beautiful wife, one with great humility and good judgment that could have helped him out in life, that could have helped him with his anger issues, put a great woman alongside of him to help him to be his helpmeet. But his eyes were blinded to the precious woman that Abigail was. He had greatness living with him and didn't realize it. And ladies, today, I want to thank you for being the example that you are. Sometimes we don't always see what we have, and that's to our regret often. But as well as allowing the Lord to move in this situation, she left room for the Lord to work in her wisdom. I know it's got to be hard sometimes when you would just rather step in and make the decisions and change things. And yet to wait on the Lord patiently for him to be able to get wisdom into that husband and that family that you are trying to serve. She acted swiftly with great humility, and she was willing to serve, but she waited on the Lord to work on her husband's heart. And there's a lot of lessons, and I'm just going to go through these quickly this morning, but there's so much wisdom to be gleaned from women in the Bible. And Abigail is certainly one such woman. What do we learn from her? Well, as with many other women in the Bible, we see the pattern of how the Lord uses the ordinary things in our daily lives to open the door for his purpose, simply requiring obedience on our part. We just have to wait on the Lord, and when the Lord opens a door, we are obedient to do our part in God's plan. She had the ability to see the bigger picture and to trust the Lord in those situations. There are some times in my life I just want to act and react based on what I see now. It's often my wife's counsel and advice that says, you need to step back and you need to take a larger view of things. You need to get a bigger perspective on things. And it's amazing how our circumstances often unveil who we are. And previously, Abigail was only known in her household for her humility and good judgment. But in this season, the Lord allowed a new situation to showcase her strength and to propel her to her purpose. It wasn't her beauty that captivated David. It was her humility. It was her character. It was her wise counsel that saved him from unnecessary bloodshed. But the thing is, who she was privately was unveiled publicly. And ladies, your chance will come. You just live a life of integrity at home. You live a life of integrity behind the scenes. And when the time comes for God to move you into the public arena and showcase you, he will do that. We must learn from Abigail's experience that the Lord often uses our circumstances to reveal us and propel us to another season. And we should pray that when he does, like Abigail, we will respond as God intends. Another lesson I see here is don't seek vengeance. That's what she warned her husband to do. Don't seek vengeance. It never works out well when we take vengeance into our own hands. We should always leave vengeance in the hand of the Lord. As Romans chapter 12 and verse 19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" And those who are able to accept judgment for things they didn't do are much more apt to set things right than those who are always trying to blame others for their own actions. It's the principle of the cross, really, and it opens the door for peace. Now, Abigail opened this door for peace so there could be a peaceful resolution with David and Nabal. She left the door open. She was not responsible if they didn't take her advice and walk through the door. But she provided a way for them to have peace. And then Abigail entered her purpose because she remained faithful to all that the Lord had placed within her, never allowing her situation or circumstances to determine who she was. She was the same person in every season of life. No matter what happened in life, she remained constant. She was not a chameleon that changed with her environment. Instead, she remained steadfast, humble, intelligent, understanding, and wise through it all. And like Abigail, the Lord will place people around you who will recognize the gift of God in you, even if you are married to someone like Nabal, who never acknowledges you, who never acknowledges the gifts that you have, who never acknowledges the gifts that you could bring into the family, into the marriage. But I want you to know that God has a way of bringing you through such adversity that he will one day be able to release you into your gifts and into your purpose. So ladies, I'm just telling you today, just continue to be the godly woman that you are in the home. Just continue to exercise these character qualities. Just continue to give your husband, your children, the wise counsel of the Lord. And even if they don't take your advice, even if they're not recognizing your gifts, there will come a time when God will move you out of the private arena and into the public square, because he has not gifted you without a purpose and without a reason. So just wait on him and continue to develop that character that God is working on you on. And like today, your children, your husband will someday rise up and call you blessed. Even from the gates of the city, they will call you blessed. And I want you to know that I feel blessed to have every single one of you here today. You're such a blessing. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And if God has spoken to your heart about any of these lessons that we've come across today, would you just ask God for his grace? Would you ask God is to continue to work on you? Because he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to maturity. He'll bring it to completion. You can count on it. But you need to be patient. And you need to be ready to walk through the door when it opens and your opportunity is before you. Father, I thank you for all these women here today. What a blessing they are to this church. And Lord, may we never overlook them. And may we never overlook their gifts and their abilities that they bring into their marriages, they bring into their families, they bring into church here. And Lord, I pray that they would just feel honored today. They would feel blessed. And I ask, Lord, that you would meet every desire of their heart. There may be some ladies here today that are frustrated because they've offered advice to a loved one and it hasn't been taken. Lord, may they wait patiently upon you because that story is not finished yet. And I thank you for that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if we could have all of the moms come forward today to receive your gift, we would like to be able to honor you in that way. All you moms, you don't have to be a part of this church. And it looks like we got plenty of flowers, so. Yes. Okay, can you just hold on? Just a couple minutes.
Yes.
All right.
My husband got a call yesterday morning from Pro-Life, and they did not have anybody to come in front of the Planned Parenthood in Minneapolis yesterday, Minneapolis-St. Paul. So they asked if maybe I could, because Paula said maybe Mom can. And I had a big agenda for yesterday, and the Lord spoke to me as Glenn and I were praying. And he said, I'll never ask you when you don't have anything on your agenda. I'll ask you when your agenda is full, because I want you to pass the test. And he spoke to my heart, and everything in me didn't want to go. But I said, yes, Lord, I'll go. And you would not believe how blessed I was. He had someone waiting for me. Her name was Elena. And she must have had an abortion early in life, because she is full of pain and anger at all of us out there that are pro-life. And I just want the Lord to bless her. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't even give her one of these that were there for you, because she wouldn't take it. But she did take it from another man there. His name was Thomas, and he's the head of pro-life. And the Lord just pressed it up my heart. There's a lot of would-be mothers out there that are in pain like her. And I just want to, this woman wants to get pregnant now, but more than likely she can't because of what happened. So I just pray for her and all the other hurting mothers out there that would have been a mother. And I'm just filled with that anguish that they're in. So I just ask you, Lord Jesus, to press your loving arms around Elena. She needs you. And there's so many out there that are contemplating suicide because of it. And I just ask you to bless them and every single mother here. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, in your holy name. Amen.
All right. So I had the privilege of already praying. Is there a man here that you would like to come and lead us in prayer for these ladies? Any of the guys like to do that? Marv?
Lord, I just want you to lay your hands on all these ladies today. They've done a wonderful
families together. And Lord, you put them on earth to guide as you do with the Lord. Mother Mary guided them, and his stepdad guided him, but Mary was probably the primary person to guide them. And all these mothers have taken on that role to guide their children, guide their family, bring you into the family, Lord, as their mainstay. And we just ask you that you bless these ladies today as we celebrate Mother's Day. In Jesus' name, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think it would be appropriate if you would stand. And the Bible does say to give honor to those whom honor is due. So could we just clap for them today and express our appreciation? So ladies, you can take your pick there, and then we can be dismissed. So God bless you so much.